Hi, and welcome to Centre Church. We hope that you enjoy this message recorded live from our Burgess Hill campus.
It's interesting when we look at this, we're going to unpack quite a large passage in John this morning. But when most people kind of look at spirit and truth, it comes from the scripture verse that God is calling us to worship in spirit and truth. Immediately we kind of think about music, we think about singing, we think about church services, we think about this Sunday morning kind of get together in a building. And while worship can certainly be those things, Jesus gives us one of the most profound teachings on worship in all of Scripture in John chapter 4. But before we get there, I want us to understand the context of John. In the opening chapters of John's Gospel, Jesus is revealing who he is. The Word made flesh, the Lamb of God, the promised Messiah. He turned water into wine. He's a miracle worker. He challenges empty religion. He tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. Try and figure that one out. Again and again, people are being confronted with the question, who is Jesus? And then we get to chapter 4 of John, and Jesus leaves Judea and travels through Samaria. He arrived tired and thirsty at a well. Very human feelings. And there he begins a conversation with a Samaritan woman who technically is the enemy on several fronts, but a conversation that becomes one of the most profound teachings on worship is where we're going to start. So John chapter 4, verse 1. Starting in verse 1, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it the Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim that it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestor was worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship, whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now, as we listen to that conversation, it's remarkable how patient Jesus is. He meets the woman where she is. He starts where she starts, a request for water, an ordinary conversation. Yet step by step, Jesus takes her deeper. Not to shame her, not to win a theological argument, but to reveal who he is. And that's what makes this encounter so powerful. The woman thinks she comes to draw water. She has no idea she's about to encounter the Messiah. As we walk through this passage today and as we kind of look at our service this morning, my encouragement to all of us is not to ask, what's worship, but where am I in this story? Because I think that's why John includes it. We may not be carrying jars of water, but we do know what it feels like to carry questions, to carry disappointment, to carry shame, to carry things we hoped would satisfy us but never quite did. And just like the woman at the well, Jesus meets us there. So, before we go any further, it's probably worth asking the question of what is worship? Well, the Oxford Dictionary defines worship as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. In simple terms, worship is giving honour, worth and devotion to someone or something. But Jesus takes worship deeper than a feeling, deeper than a song and deeper than a Sunday gathering. Worship is our response to who God is and what he has done for us. Yes, worship includes singing, but it's also trusting God when life is uncertain. It's choosing forgiveness when we've been hurt. It's choosing integrity when no one's looking. It's loving others the way Christ has loved us. It's putting Jesus at the center of our decisions and our priorities and our relationships. Worship is not just something we do. Worship is how we live in response to God. Which is why the Samaritan woman asked the question, where should we worship? Jesus essentially responds, you're asking about a place and I'm talking about a life. Because worship in spirit and truth moves us from a place people go to a life people live. John 4:10, as I was reading the passage this week and kind of spent some time just unpacking it, I couldn't get beyond John 4:10. And it was this revelation of if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would be asking me and I would give you living water. Sometimes I wonder, you know, we're in church this morning. Do we actually know who we're speaking to? Do we realize the gift that God has for us? Before Jesus talks about worship, before he talks about spirit and truth, before he reveals himself as the Messiah, he says that if you only knew the gift, if you only knew who you're speaking to. The woman's greatest need wasn't better religion. It wasn't more information. It wasn't even behavior change. Her greatest need was Jesus. And everything that follows in this story flows from that revelation. Worship begins with a revelation of Jesus. John 4:23 to 24 says, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Notice Jesus isn't describing a style of worship. He's describing a kind of worshipper. But what does he mean? Worship in spirit is worship that comes from a heart made alive by God. It is worship empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not merely external, not merely ritual, not simply going through the motions. It is the worship that flows from relationship with the Father. Worship in truth is worship centered on Jesus and honest before God. It is rooted in what is true about God, what is true about ourselves. Who likes that position? Not all of us. It's worship without masks, without pretending, without performance. Spirit without truth becomes emotionalism. Truth without spirit becomes dead religion. The Father is looking for worshippers who worship in spirit and in truth. But what does that actually look like? It's an easy statement to say, but what does it look like? As Jesus speaks with the Samaritan woman, he begins to redefine worship. And throughout this conversation, we see four movements: from place to presence, from ritual to relationship, from performance to authenticity, and from external religion to internal transformation. So this morning, we're going to unpack those a little bit more. So the first one, in order to worship in spirit and truth, we have to move from place to presence. The woman asks a question about location. Which mountain? Which place? Which tradition? Who has it right? The woman is focused on the place. Jesus is focused on presence because God is spirit. I love that Hannah said this, but just to reiterate it this morning, God cannot be confined to a building or a religious system or a mountain, or a location. The question is no longer, where do I worship? The question becomes, am I living aware of God's presence? The woman arrived focused on a mountain. She left focused on the Messiah. And that's significant, because throughout John's gospel, Jesus is revealing who he is. You know, we've just finished a series on the names of God. We've been reminded again and again who God is. He's our provider. He's our shepherd. He's our healer. He is our peace. He is present. And through Jesus, God's presence is no longer something we visit. His spirit dwells within us. We don't come to church to find God. We gather because God is already in us. The point is never simply to learn more names. The point is to know him deeper. Because worship begins with a revelation of Jesus. The woman arrived with questions about a place. She left having encountered a person. And for us today, worship in spirit means living aware that God's presence is not confined to Sunday mornings. He is with us in the ordinary moments of life, at home, at work, in our conversations, in our decisions. Our family has lived that this week. Try kind of managing people in three different continents. It's great fun. An unexpected turn of events, but God is there in the middle of it, to the point where, God, I don't even know what decision to make right now. And it's those moments of, like we just sung, be still. God, you're here in the middle of this, whether it's the smallest detail or the most, you know, complicated situation. Worship in spirit means learning to live every day aware of his presence, because worship moves from a place people go to a life people live. Number two, worship in spirit and truth moves us from ritual to relationship. Jesus says the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. I love that. The Father is seeking worshippers, not performers, not experts, definitely not people who have it all together. He's looking for worshippers. The woman wasn't searching for Jesus. Jesus was searching for her. The initiative belongs to God. The conversation doesn't happen in a temple, it happens at a well. Because worship is ultimately about relationship. The Spirit awakens us. Spirit awakens us to awakens relationship. I wonder if at times we could become comfortable with religious activity while keeping God at a distance. Yeah, 41 years in church. I can pretty much tell you how it goes. Pretty much seen it all. We know the songs, all of them, even the ones you knew as a kid, and people are like, that's so old. No. Yeah, I love seeing the cycle of worship songs come back. Things that were written before I was born are now top of the Christian worship charts and stuff like that. But we know the songs. We know the scriptures. We know how church works. We know what to say. We know when to stand. We know when to sit. We know about him, but do we actually know him? Because there's a difference between knowing facts about someone and living in relationship with them. I can know a lot about a person without truly knowing them. The Samaritan woman thought she was having a conversation about worship. Jesus was inviting her into relationship with the Father. And that's the invitation for us today. Whether this is a new day for you, whether you've only just joined church, or whether you're a seasoned veteran of 41 years, the invitation is still for me to be in relationship with Jesus, to go deeper, to not simply know about him, but to know him more deeply. So number three, worship in spirit and truth moves us from performance to authenticity. As the conversation continues, Jesus begins speaking truth into the woman's life. I love this. And Jesus knows what her lifestyle is, but he still says, go and get your husband. And good for her for answering. You know, the organisation I work for was founded from a challenge from Mother Teresa. And it was this similar kind of situation where the founder of our organisation sat in front of Mother Teresa and she said, what are you doing to feed the poor, to help the poor? And he went, not a good career move to lie. So he said, not a lot. Convoy of Hope now, 30 years later, is now doing what it does. But as the conversation continues, Jesus doesn't speak truth into the woman's life to shame her or condemn her, but to free her. He knows her story. He knows her pain, her disappointments, her failures, yet he stays. The woman tries to move the conversation towards theology and worship debates. Jesus gently brings it back to the heart. And if we're honest, we can do the same. We can hide behind busyness. We can hide behind knowledge. We can even hide behind success and church activity. I'll be here at this time. I'll do this. I'm ticking the boxes. But Jesus sees beyond all of that. Truth is not merely correct doctrine. Truth is found in Jesus. And truth produces honesty. The woman becomes fully known. And in being fully known, she discovers grace. Thankful for grace. True worship begins where hiding ends. Now, that's not necessarily a public moment where we have to stand on the platform and here is my world. Here's everything I've done right and wrong for 49 years of my life. That's not what this is about. It's coming into the quiet place. It's sitting in your seat this morning and just allowing the Holy Spirit just to remind you that you're loved and that you're cared for. But who you are is who you are. God, I've messed up. Just sitting there and knowing in your heart, God, I'm done. You see it all anyway. I come to you this morning in a moment of honesty, a moment of surrender, a moment of conversation. We make a decision to stop pretending. And it's a willingness to let Jesus into the places we've kept hidden. Because worship in truth isn't about public exposure, it's about honest surrender. And often what happens in those quiet moments with God eventually becomes visible in our actions, in our words, in the way we live. The Samaritan woman's transformation became visible to everybody, but it started with a private encounter with Jesus at a well. It's number four, worship in spirit and truth moves us from external religion to inner transformation. This is always an interesting one. Like we said before, spirit without truth becomes emotionalism, and truth without spirit becomes dead religion. But Jesus calls us to both, because spirit and truth transforms us from the inside out. The evidence of worship in spirit and truth isn't perfection. We will never achieve it. It's not going to happen. Hate to be the one to kind of burst the bubble, but it's kind of a good bubble to burst, because it's not about perfection, it's about transformation. It's a daily decision to go, I'm going to do better today. God, how do I listen to you today? How do I love my enemies, the people that are driving me nuts and doing all the wrong thing? How do I love them today? How do I speak truth when I'm in a board meeting and they're telling me to do everything that breaks the rules? How do I not laugh at the jokes that are kind of causing somebody else to be hurt and isolated? It's a commitment to allow the Holy Spirit to continue changing us from the inside out. You know, something shifted in the Samaritan woman. The woman who arrived at the well is not the same woman that leaves it. Yes, she still has the same story. She has the same past. She still is in the same circumstances, but something has changed on the inside. An encounter with Jesus has begun to transform her. Before, she was hiding from people. She was carrying shame. She was living in isolation. After her encounter with God, she's stepping into the light. She's carrying hope. She's living as a witness. The woman who arrived avoiding people becomes the woman inviting people. The woman carrying shame becomes the woman carrying hope. The woman who came looking for water becomes the woman pointing others to Jesus. What changed? She encountered Jesus. John 4:42, a little further down in that passage, it says, "Now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Saviour of the world." This is the village that she lives in and now saying that we have seen. It's not just her testimony. Her testimony becomes the signpost to encountering Jesus for themselves. Neither encounter, whether it was the village or the woman, left people unchanged. Why? Because worship in spirit and truth is not merely something we do. It is the response of a life transformed by the presence of God and the truth of Jesus Christ. The woman isn't simply a character in the story. She's an invitation. Her story is meant to be our story. Not because we try harder, not because we become more religious, but because we encounter Jesus. The Samaritan woman came to the well thirsty. She came carrying shame. She came with questions. She came looking for water, but she left transformed. She arrived at the well focused on water. She left focused on Jesus. Love this one. She arrived debating worship. She left declaring Messiah. She arrived carrying shame. She left carrying hope. She arriving asking where to worship. She left as a worshiper. Perhaps that's why John includes this story. Not so we would admire the Samaritan woman, but so we would recognize ourselves in her. Because we all come to Jesus carrying something. Questions, disappointments, shame, longing, thirst. And just like the woman at the well, Jesus wants to meet us there. We've got loads of time this morning, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And I'm always good this way. I always want to give us time to reflect and to actually have that quiet moment. But the village encountered Jesus and their lives were changed. The woman encountered Jesus and her life was changed. Because that's what happens when people discover the gift of God and who Jesus really is. You know, as we begin this Spirit and Truth series, my prayer isn't simply that we learn more about worship, that we kind of know the fundamentals, we know the theology. It's got to be more than that. Worship doesn't just begin with a song. Worship begins with a revelation. A revelation of the gift of God. A revelation of who Jesus is. Remember Jesus' words in John 4, verse 10? If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to. Everything changed when the woman discovered who was sitting in front of her. She arrived focused on the mountain, left focused on the Messiah. The debate became less important than the relationship. The ritual became less important than the revelation. And when we truly know who he is, worship moves us from a place we go to a life we live. The Samaritan woman's story became a story of transformation. Is that our story? It's not have I been to church, but am I allowing Jesus to keep changing the way I live? Because the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. People whose lives tell the story that they have been with Jesus. Worship in spirit and truth moves us from a place people go to a life people live.
Following today's message, if you are asking what's next, please do not hesitate to contact us at info@centre-church.uk. For any more information or to find out more of what we do as a church, check out our website at www.centrechurch.uk.